God is good all the time. Put a song of praise in this heart of mine. I'm not going to receive tithes and offerings first this morning. I'm going to save it to the end so if our children, if they won't be dismissed and go learn of the Lord, great things that He has done. Our children's future has been bought with a price. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have a bright future. You know, I'm not too happy with the lights that they make now, the light bulbs that we're making nowadays. It takes 5 minutes for the light to become on. You know, when God said light be, it wasn't a time to where it had to become light. Y'all know about the bulbs I'm talking about? You turn them on, they got to warm up for about 5 minutes. Edison wasn't thinking about that. When he wanted something, he wanted to see something, I want to see it. Not complaining about it. Thank God we got light. We don't have to go carry the oil in and get the lanterns and the wicks, change the wicks, but everybody's got opinions, right? If I'm reading something, I want a light I can see. We're going to continuing our series on healing as the children's bread. And it all is based upon knowledge. This is the title. Healing is based, actually not just on knowing, but it's based on knowing and seeing. Seeing. Say knowing and seeing. Oh, no, you're looking with the wrong eyes. Now we got to go down here. Knowing and seeing. Mark 16, verse 18, Jesus said, and is still saying, that believers will lay hands on the sick and they're going to stay sick. What, was that not right? Wait a minute. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Jesus said that believers will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Recover. The joy, it is joy of the minister, but the job of the minister, and also he finds joy in teaching. My job is to train the body of Christ so that you can do the work of the ministry, and I'm including me in this. Ephesians 4:11-12 says, the day of the one-man show in the body of Christ needs to come to an end. We can't do it on our own. If Jesus needed 12 disciples, you're going to need at least one or two, right, to help us, right? He needs a lot. He needs an army strong, not just one man. That man, see, I remember Pastor Jim told me, and he's going to live a long life here on the earth, but he says on his tombstone, unless Jesus comes by, whether he goes by the grave or goes by the rapture, he said, this is what I want on my tombstone. Today I learned something, and today I taught something. Always learning and always teaching. And see, that's what Jesus, he was a teacher and a preacher of righteousness. But the whole 3.5 years that he said, follow me, and those 12 came, and those that followed him, he was making disciples. He was teaching, pouring his heart out because he had a short time. So I've got 2 pages, and I'm going to pour my heart out so I can get these 2 pages accomplished this morning, what he wants you to know. That's just an introduction. Believers, believe you can lay hands on the sick and believe they shall recover. Don't look at the faces. Don't look at the body. Don't look at the sickness, the growth, whatever it is. Look at Jesus, knowing and seeing. Four steps here about healing is based on knowing and seeing. Number one, and you're going to hear this, and you're going to continue to hear it till you see Jesus face to face, that it depends on knowing who we are in Christ, in Him. Knowing. Jesus gave every disciple who believes the power and authority. He gave them the keys. He gave them the keys to that Ferrari, Cecil. That Ferrari's got some power. 0 to 60 in fast. You're saying 4 seconds? We talked about this a couple weeks ago, about that power. 2 types of power. One type is the authority, and the other type, in other words, Jesus gave us His authority to use God's power. That's the Holy Ghost. That's dunamis. That's seeing autism destroyed in the name of Jesus. Amen. And walking free in this earth. Yes. Praising God. Singing praises unto Him. I'm free. Jesus gave every disciple, and if you're following Jesus, you're a disciple. who believes the power and authority to do the same works that he did. What a statement. What power. But it's absolutely true because John 14:12 says, verily, verily, surely, 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 not surely, surely, I say to you, now if Shirley believes this, she can have it. Surely I say to you, he that believeth on me, Jesus is saying, the works that I do shall you do also. And Jesus is not a liar, and he's not a thief. He's a believer. He believed in his Father. And greater works shall you do, because I'm going to my Father, who is actually the creator of the works. Because Jesus said, the works you do, they're not me, the Father. He does the works. I'm just doing what Daddy told me to do. God is a worker, and he worked in Christ, reconciling his children back to where they were supposed to be, back from that curse of sin, sickness, and disease. All believers will do the same works that Jesus did, and it's not just limited to the fivefold ministry, pastor, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. If it was, we would be limited to that, but it's not. There's just a shortage of believing believers. There's where our shortage is. Jesus said the harvest is great out here. I need some believing believers. Those that ain't going to turn and walk away from me from when I say, unless you're not my disciple, unless you eat my flesh and drink of my blood. In other words, they got to know that he's talking about the scripture, about things that's already been spoken. You got to know something. You got to know the scriptures if you're going to be my disciple, because I'm going to do things that you can't do on your own. It's going to take a supernatural work of God. And just, that's what Jesus was speaking of, the Old Testament. Him being fulfilled. Him becoming the lamb, the sacrifice. But all that power was going to be released back into the earth when the church was birthed. Say power.
Power.
Christ. Knowing Christ. Number two, learning who we are. And that's a continuing process every day. Learn of him. Learn. Learn. Number two, where do I start? Okay, I'm getting in the Bible. I'm learning of Christ. Remember, we talked about faith begins. True Bible faith begins. Power begins where the will of God is known. You can't have power if you don't believe Jesus is the power source. You've got to have knowledge to know that. It starts, where do I start? It starts with the renewing of your mind, knowing. Renewing of this mind, because faith is based on knowledge. You could say faith is the foundation. Faith is based. Faith is the foundation. There's your base. On knowledge. It's based on that knowledge. Knowledge, where do I stand with God? Knowledge. Your foundation is based on knowing God. This is where your faith starts. I am in right standing, knowledge. Ledge is where you stand. I stand on a ledge, and I know something. I know Christ. I know where I stand with God now because of Christ. Knowledge, faith is based on that. True Bible faith. And everything we need to know to be a victorious Christian is explained in God's Word. That's what the Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 1:3-4. He said, according as his divine power, talking about Christ, hath given unto us all, hath, past tense, he hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. That by these great and precious promises, here's a kicker, that by these you might, condition if you want to work in this power and operate in this power, that these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. If we operate, if we seek, and we know Jesus and operating this power, it's going to work in us His divine nature, knowing Him, doing what He's called us to do. It's a divine nature. It's a supernatural blessing that comes upon us when we do what His Word says. Knowledge of a few basic truths are here. When properly understood and applied, will make a huge difference in releasing His power and receiving your healing. This is based upon healing, what we're talking about, but this is any area of your life, but we're focusing on healing. And it's based on knowledge. God has already placed His healing power within us, and it's now under our authority to release it. Under our authority. It isn't up to God to determine who receives healing. It's up to us. Because the provision has already been provided. Jesus said, all that want to come, all that are thirsty, come. All that are hungry, come. What a powerful statement. It's our failure to understand and use the authority we have that is keeping God's healing power from flowing as it should. It's kind of like the devil. He wants us to dam up God's power so it won't be used. It all goes back to the garden. He says, has God said? He wants you to doubt. Did Jesus really mean what He said? Did Jesus really mean what He did was for you? Yeah, He did. The devil didn't even believe it, because the Bible says that if he'd have known what he did, he wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory when he showed up in hell and destroyed His kingdom. Light destroyed darkness. It's imperative that we discover what we have and learn. There's the teacher's part. Learn how to use it, how to release it, right? As parents, as moms and dads, and whatever we do on our job, you know, it's up to us to teach our children what we know, release to them. Then it's up to them that they might receive our instructions and go out and not learn by the lessons of hard knocks, but by the Word. The Word is our example. So number one, we got to know who we are in Christ, learning about healing. Where do we start? We start knowing, building this relationship of knowledge in the Word of God. Knowing that we have power, we have access to that power. And not only do we have access, we have the authority to use it anytime we need it. Because when we do, we're destroying, we're continuing Jesus. The purpose God gave Him was to destroy the works of the devil, of darkness, the power, the kingdom of darkness. And that's a continuing process until He's thrown into the lake of fire. That's our destiny. That's our purpose, is to destroy His kingdom of darkness. Number three, rightly divide the word of truth. It's what this knowledge is based on. Here's another indispensable basic truth that we must know, and understand about healing. It's never God's will for us to be sick. There's your foundation. Never God's will for us to be sick. He wants every person healed every time, all the time. If we can walk in that divine nature according to the knowledge that we know. And we know Hosea says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. See, God says, my people are destroyed. He wasn't talking about those that were outside the covenant. They're already dead. If you're not in Christ, you're already dead. You're just a walking dead man. But once we come in, He said, now my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They quit speaking the word. They quit teaching my word, my precepts. God wants us to be healed all the time, every time, and that's too good to be true good news. Amen. Most Christians don't know, or if they know it, they don't believe it because it sounds too good to be true. They think the Lord makes them sick. And there's a foundation that's on sand. Oh, you don't know, the Lord giveth and the Lord He taketh away. Well, blessed be the name of the Lord. No, that's Old Testament. That was somebody that had heard tradition and was just passing it along. The Lord's a giver, not a taker. He's a giver and a receiver. They think the Lord makes them sick, or at the very least, these that don't have this knowledge and are not rightly dividing the word of truth, they think at least He allows the devil. Nope. We're in new covenant. It's up to us to know the word now. Jesus came and said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You have no more excuses. This is God's nature right here. We're in that generation to where we've got a lot of word that we're able to look back and see. We have no excuse to be blaming this stuff on God. Because he's not a man that he should lie, nor does he have to repent. Amen? Because he did it right. When he spoke these things, he spoke it right. He knew the devil was coming, but he knew he was going to send Jesus, who was going to straighten this mess out. And then the church was coming to help fight the battle. And then Jesus is coming again to settle the score. Amen? Rightly divide the word of truth. We got to rightly divide this truth. Our generation right now, this world, everything that's happening, people don't want to hear truth. They don't want to hear it. They'll put you in jail recently for believing in this word. But I see somebody set free. If I'm put in jail, I'm free. It's the one that put me here. They're the one that's in bondage. But she's free. God does not allow Satan to make them sick, or he does not punish or correct them using sickness. God does not, is not, and will not. That kind of thinking will get you killed or get you prematurely off of this earth sooner than what God needs you to stay here. And that's not what the Bible teaches. Can I get an amen? And we believe this Bible to be inspired by men that were inspired by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. It's a holy Bible. So we got to rightly divide the Word of God. And this is how we rightly divide it. We can take this to our preschoolers and they can teach us. No, God is good and the devil is evil. He's bad. God good, devil bad. Two columns. Good things come from bad things from the devil. We're rightly dividing the Word of God. There's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat that tree. You don't need to know about evil. You need to know me. You need to know God. First, if Adam and Eve would have did that first continually, then they would have had to know that ain't God speaking. That's not God speaking. Has God said? No, when God says it, he says it. Shouldn't be a question. Has he said? He said it. Devil makes a double standard. Has he said? Jesus said it's written. He didn't have to think about it. He told, it is written. And I'm saying it again. I'm saying what God says. Rightly divide the word. No, God is good. The devil is evil. One of the most elementary principles in God's word is given to us in James 4:7. And it says, submit yourselves unto God / resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Reed knows about who you're going to stand up against and who you're going to flee here lately. He had an encounter with he called it a big dog. You know, he's a postal man. The dog came and attacked him. Didn't want him on his property. I'll let Reed tell the story, but I heard the short version of it. He had some training. He'd been trained. He'd been through this before. He had some experience, knowledge. He had some knowledge. He took care of the dog. He come out with a couple of scrapes on his knee, but he had a covenant with God. He stood there like David. He didn't tuck and run. You don't run from a dog and you don't run from the devil. I said, you don't run from a dog and you don't run from the devil. You submit to God and you resist the devil. You get in that dog's face and you tell him who you are in Jesus' name and you start chasing the dog. That dog, now Reed's got to do what he's been told as far as his training, but you can chase that dog away in the name of Jesus. You won't even have to take in the name of Jesus. If he sees your authority, he knows who you are. He's just testing you. The devil knows who you are if you're in Christ, and he's testing you. Do you believe it? Do you know it? Are you going to run? But then when you submit to God, what's he got to do? He got to run. He's got the runs. He's got the runs. Y'all know where. Give him the runs in Jesus' name. Amen. Instead of it's written, he's going to need to be sitting somewhere. Wishing he hadn't have come against a man with a covenant. Amen? He's going to be doing some running. That's what, see, we got to know. We got to rightly divide and know. And then submit ourselves to God in that situation. There's all kind of submitting we need to do. submitting to the promises, to that word. This verse clearly teaches that some things are of God. Now, we're not talking about sicknesses. We're talking about submit yourselves to God. That's what we have to do. Our part, we've got to submit to God. And some things are of the devil. Notice it doesn't present a third category. Well, this is what I think, Jesus. This is what I think I need to do. Don't go there. Don't make your book. Use his book, because it's written. It's already been written, and it works. It works if you'll work it. You can't try this. You got to do it. You got to work it. You don't, ladies, you don't try to make biscuits, right? You need that dough. Now, I'm talking about homemade biscuits. You need it, and you work it, right? Work it out. Work it. Get it. Knead it. And it rises. And then you eat it. Amen? And you enjoy it. And the benefits that it has. With thanksgiving unto God. We're talking about knowing God, which is good, and the devil, which is evil. Notice it doesn't give that third category from God through the devil. No, sickness has nothing to do with God. We submit to the things of God, to his word, and resist the things of the devil. Remember, we talked about the corruption that is in the lust. That's why people are, 2 Peter 1:3-4 says, whereby, talking about this divine nature, we are given unto us exceedingly great promises. We need to submit to those. That by these promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's what James was talking about. Submit to God, his promises, do it his way, even if it costs you getting thrown in jail. You're going to be blessed. Joseph was there for a time. He was in prison, accused of really something a whole lot more, adultery, messing with the big man's wife, even in his house, her house. But it wasn't true. They didn't believe the man of truth. And time proved out who was true. God brought him out of that prison and put him in second position. And then he got to judge things out there. He got to judge his enemies. And he probably blessed them because he knew the covenant of God. Bless those that curse you, despitefully use you. That's what they did. They used him. They used Joseph. So it's that simple. Submit to God, resist the devil. To believe that God allows or approves, if we believe God allows or approves of Satan's actions, it defies the logic that James just spoke there. It eliminates our responsibility to resist, and it places ultimate responsibility for everything back on God if we don't submit to God, if we think God is doing everything. The widely accepted doctrine, and it's not here at this church, this is widely accepted out here, that God controls everything and does all things and can't nothing happen except it's his will, that's a deception. That's not rightly dividing the word of truth. That's not rightly dividing the old covenant and new covenant into grace that we have today. If Satan can confuse and deceive God's people on this issue, he's got you. If there's any doubt, you're going to do without the promises of God. If there's any doubt, why? Because you'll stop resisting and you'll start compromising. Well, I guess this is just something I'm just going to have to deal with or live with. That's what I hear a lot. I guess I'm just going to have to live with this. No. No. You live in God's house. You worship at his house. In his house, there's healing in his wings. Go back to Psalms 91. If you submit to God under his authority, you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a good place to be. That's what they talked about. The children of it, he led them. A cloud by day and fire by night. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God's presence. And in his presence, there's no sickness. There's no disease because there's fullness of joy. You got to know that. Amen? Our responsibility, if we accept that doctrine that God is using this for his glory, using this sickness, using this tragedy. No. No, he used Jesus for his glory. He used Jesus to show us who he is, who his nature is. We got to always go back and look what Jesus did and what he said. No one wants to resist God's will. In other words, people, you know, if everything's God's will, you know, I can't resist God. No one wants to resist God's will. And if you think that God is behind your sickness, or you think God is behind what's happening in your life, the bad things that's happening in your life, if you believe that, you'll submit to it. And if you submit to that, you're resisting God. And you're giving full access, we're giving full access to the devil. He can come in and have a heyday in your life, in your finances, in your health, in your body. That violates the instructions of James 4 and 7. It won't get you healed, and it lets Satan have his way in our life. Been there, done that, and try not to do it again, you know, because we're human. We've got flesh that we're going to miss it. We're going to make mistakes. But we have 1 John 1:9. Confess my sin. If I confess my sin, he's faithful. He's faithful. Jesus is faithful who committed no sin, that I might have his righteousness and be washed and cleansed from all that I just did. See, we have an advocate with Jesus. We have an advocate who stands, sits beside the Father day and night, interceding for us. Lord, he just reminded us of what I did. It's forgiven. It's forgotten. Then the devil, we resist. He's got to flee because of that grace, because of the blood. You see, the destroyer can't come in your house. He can't come in your life if you remind him of your covenant. How do you remind him of your covenant? By submitting to it. It's nothing I do to earn it. I just submit to it. It's what it's grace. You've given me your covenant, your promises, and I submit to them and I do them. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you keep something, you're going to do it. Do it and do it. Amen? Not Sunday. Every day of the week. This is who I am in Christ. You must believe God always wants you healed. And if you know some people that don't believe that, don't give up on them, okay? God didn't give up on you, right? He didn't give up on me. Just because you got some wrong teaching, some wrong doctrine, doesn't mean the right stuff can't take care of the bad stuff. All it takes is just one drop of that blood to give you a blood transfusion, to know the truth. Just one word, one revelation from God can totally transform an experience. When you truly have a revelation, you're going to have an experience. I can guarantee you that. I had a revelation of who Jesus is, and I had an experience with him, and it totally changed my mind of who I thought God was. He is love. He is love. And love is powerful. Love can heal. Love has healed. Love has delivered. Love has saved the world. Amen. From darkness, from sin, from separation from God. That's what love can do. That's what love has done. And it's that simple. God always wants you. Love always wants you healed. It takes help to misunderstand it. It takes somebody to help you misunderstand that doesn't understand it. But sadly, most Christians receive plenty of help from religion. And I like to say the simple definition of religion is, who are you relying on? Who are you relying on? What's their faith based on? Is it based on tradition or is it based on the Word of God? God backs up what he says, and the devil backs up what he says. He'll bring you sickness and disease and poverty and calamity. Jesus will bring you healing, wealth, deliverance, joy, peace in the midst of your storm. Look at it this way. If God wanted you sick, and he doesn't, but if he wanted you sick for whatever reason, then why visit the doctor? Why go see the doctor? If you believe that, because you're resisting God, if you go to the doctor, you're saying, I'm resisting your will, God. I got to go to the doctor. See, it doesn't even make sense, this logic, this doctrine, that God is teaching you something through this sickness. It would seem more logical to allow the sickness to run its course so you could fulfill God's plan and purpose. Of course, we know that's foolish to our ears, to our spiritual ears, right? We don't believe that. Quickly, number one, know who you are in Christ. Healing is based upon knowing and seeing. Number two, where do we start? Faith begins where the will of God is known, in the Word, in the Scriptures that are divinely prophesied. Number three, we rightly divide the word of truth. God is good, the devil is evil. God has health, the devil has sickness. God has prosperity, the devil has poverty. Put on your chart what you need to, what you're not sure about. Be sure. It's in the Bible. Number four, and the last point. What's the bottom line on God's will for our healing? His word reveals that reveals it to us. 3 John 2, speaking to you. Beloved. God's saying, beloved. Jesus is saying to you, Sharon, Cecil, Tammy, because He's calling you His beloved. I wish I died for you so that all things that you may prosper and be in health while you're prospering. Have a good journey. Live a long, prosperous life here on the earth. Have all the money you need to succeed and help others along the way. And have health as you do it. This is what 3 John 2 is saying. Beloved, I wish these things for you. You can say I might, because we have all God's promises are given to us, but they're conditional. The condition is, do we choose life or do we choose death? We choose God or we choose the devil's way. Simple as that. John wrote this letter to believers. To believers. He had to say this to believers to get them to believe. Do you believe this, believers? Because I wish God wishes above all things. Believers needed to believe this. And undoubtedly, they wasn't believing it, right? God's Word, He didn't say something just to be filling page words on the page. He said it because it wasn't happening, but it needed to. And He did it. John wrote this to the believers under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He revealed that the Lord wants us healthy just as much as He wants us to prosper emotionally and mentally. When Peter preached the gospel to Cornelius in Acts 10:38, he summarized the ministry of Jesus by saying, this is a summary of what Jesus did. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. And power, who went about with that power doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God was with him. I talked about this, the firepower. You need to have both your guns loaded and ready to draw. Anybody used to watch Roy Rogers and Trigger? I did a little history on him. Do you know what his first wife's name was?
Grace Arlene Wilkins.
My mom, her name is Margie Arlene Jackson. We went to mom's house. She's 79. We took her back in time a little bit because she's been feeling kind of down because her sister's been dealing with that throat cancer, which God has healed her from, and she's getting ready to come up off of that bed of sickness, and her strength's going to be renewed because she's going to find a new beginning and a new hope that's in the healing power of Christ Jesus. But she was bent down a little bit because she doesn't have the capability that she used to have, but she goes up there and she can sit with her, but she don't think that's doing a lot. But the Lord said, well, go next time you go sit with her, give her some of your medicine, because mama takes a lot of medicine. She's got a lot of medicine she's taking, but she's still got her sound mind, because I've been praying that no weapon that's formed against her is going to prosper. No side effects. I've been praying over, I take my hand and I pray over that medicine as I'm at her house when she don't see me doing it. But I'm believing God. But I said, Mom, next time you go visit your sister, take her and give her some of your medicine. She's like, what's he talking about? She didn't know. A merry heart doth good like a medicine. Go in there and take her back a few years. Take her back and tell her some things that you did and got her in trouble when she was a kid and her mom and daddy didn't know about it. In other words, tell her some of these things you hadn't told her a sister knew all these years. Get her laughing. Get some joy going, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And watch her start coming off of that couch and want to get up and walk around and talk about these things. But people that are going through a battle need to have somebody to bring them some hope and encouragement. David said, I want to encourage myself in the Lord. If nobody else will bring it, I'll bring it. Right. I know what I did. I took down a bear. I took down a lion. I took down Goliath. And now this king's coming after me. So what? I'm going to encourage myself. God is for me. And if He be for me, who can be against me? Nobody. Devil, you just a nobody. Trying to go somewhere, do something, but you defeated. So we went down happy trails. Y'all know the song, happy trails to you until we meet again. And I found out something about Roy Rogers. He believed God. He had a covenant with God. In later life, because he met a girl named Grace Arlene. When I heard Grace, I said, Mama, she definitely was, Mama was naming her after you. Grace Arlene. And after that, he found out her conviction. She actually got born again. And it wasn't too long that Roy gave his life to the Lord. And one of the things that stuck out, just like this lady that's been put in jail for what she believes, Roy believed in doing good. He would play his guitar out on the trails, out there working. He would sing songs that would, because back then, this is in the days of the Great Depression. They were believing, they were out here singing just for food, not for money, just so my food, I could have something to eat. And he said, Roy Rogers' daddy was a shoe salesman. And he had got an opportunity to go sell shoes at a nice store, start making some good money, starting to see light at the end of the tunnel, and it wasn't a train coming. But he told his dad, he said, Dad, I appreciate it, but I'm out here playing these songs, and I see it's bringing hope to people out here. Dad, he said, this is what God's called me to do. It didn't pay at that moment like the shoe store would have paid, but he kept believing that what he was doing was helping people. Roy Rogers. And it later took him to meet Grace Arlene, and then for him to build a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And as his name grew and the fame grew, they would come to him, talking about Hollywood now, offered him getting on the big screen. People started to hear about him. They started to like what they were hearing. But they said, after he got born again, Roy said, y'all got my name and you're making money off my name, so I want to start singing How Great Thou Art is going to be my first song on every performance. And he said, Roy, you can't do that. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear what you've been singing. He said, if you want me, you're going to get what I sing. And went on to say, from every performance, he sung How Great Thou Art. And he grew, and he grew. And we know the history of Roy. He done good for himself and for his family. But see, he could have been a successful shoe salesman and missed the perfect will of God helping others. I'm not saying he couldn't help him others selling shoes, but it wouldn't have been what God had created him to do. He gave him a guitar, and he gave him a horse, and he gave him a vision to help people less fortunate. And he came through the Great Depression. He had to sing to eat. But it took him. See, God saw his heart. He was blessing those around him, and God took him up. But he kept God first. How great thou art. How great is our God. And worthy to be praised. I knew God would work that somehow in the message. He wore Trigger and he had his six guns. But he fought the enemy and then he sang a song. He always had a song in his heart, just like David. He always had a song to sing after he defeated the enemies. And that's what we need in this world. We need hope. We need songs of deliverance and songs of worship and songs of praise. That's what God sent out in the Old Testament. He sent the praisers out to steal the enemy. The devil don't like it when we sing happy songs. He wants us to sing sad songs. I don't have that no more. I deleted that out of my jukebox. Deleted it. Happy trails until we meet again. That's what Jesus wants us to sing. He's coming again. Sing them happy songs. Stand with me this morning. Something's changing. This is a new month, new beginnings. There's some things that have got to change. I'm going to say this quickly, but my wife's pregnant. She's pregnant. She's looking for a job. Not having no more kids, but we're going to have silver and gold. It's going to be plenteous. I just wanted to kind of get some joy going. Got to shock them in the face sometime. Got to stir them up, shock them a little bit. That's what Sarah said. She laughed, didn't she? She laughed at God. We laughing at the devil. She ain't got no job. She ain't working. You're laughing at the devil. She's pregnant. She's pregnant. She has believed. She has received. And she has conceived. And it's in the process. And there's a birthday coming. There's a birth coming. That's not my part. That's God's part. We just plant the seed. I just believe with her. So today, it's a new day for us. Well, by faith, we're just thanking Him and praising Him. And we're not going to push it, press it. We're just going to believe it and receive it. Amen. And that's the way you do your healing. Anything you need from God, He'll give you something specific. It might be funny. It might... Whatever it is, it's powerful. Even though it might be have some laughter in it, laugh at the devil because there's power in that. Knowing who you are in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your great and precious promises, Lord. That's in your word. Jesus, you are great. You are highly, highly lifted up. And Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. We receive. I believe your people receive the healing they need in their body. Not just today, but you said a divine nature, Lord. We have your nature, Father. And we just thank you. We divinely walk it out by faith. And we submit to you, Lord. We submit to your promises. We submit to the Holy Spirit today. And Satan, we give you great pleasure in telling you that you are defeated. Sickness in me is defeated. It has no place. I thank you, Father, right now. I speak life and peace over your people. There'll be no flu season. Lord, the world, we're not in this world. We're not of this world. We're in the kingdom of God. So we just set our faith right now. We're not looking for calamity. We're looking for your blessing. We're not looking for destruction. We're looking for protection. Father, we thank you, Jesus, that you are high and lifted up. And we set our sights on good things. They come down. Your good things, Lord, every good, every perfect gift comes down, has came down, and Lord is inside of us. And we just release our faith today, Father, that this is the best day. This is a great day. And this is a day, Father God, we sing praises unto you. Lift up your name. Satan, you are defeated. Sickness, you are defeated. Poverty, you are defeated. This is God's house. These people carry around the Most High God, covenant. They walk around with their hands in the air, praising and singing praises unto their God. We shall not lack. Lack is not a part of our, it's not a part of our benefit package, Father. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We receive the bread of life, and we receive the power and authority that you have given us, Father. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for sight. Lord, we'll be able to see the enemy. Lord, there's people in here right now, Lord, you're going to give them spiritual insight. They have it on the inside, but they're going to know it. They're going to know that this is the devil, and they're going to submit to your word, and they're going to resist that. They're going to speak to that, and it's going to have to flee. It's going to have to flee because your word is true, Father God, and we just believe that. Receive it in Jesus' name.